Shabbat Shalom. I'm going to be starting a series on getting to know the Lord, His character, His nature, and my goal is not to turn it into an intellectual exercise. I listen to a lot of sermons, although not recently, and some of them are anointed and some of them are like all intellectual in the head. So what I want to do is a series on getting to know the Lord. As Heidi says, her relationship with the Lord is her prized possession, her top relationship. And what I want to do is talk about getting to know God and how that, His character and nature, His titles, probably not all of it, because I was making a list, just a small list, of His various aspects of who He is. And it's like, if I did that, I'd be here forever, teaching on this forever, probably literally. So maybe some things, but what I want to do is relate it to how it affects our life. What does it mean to have a Lord, our Heavenly Father, and our friend who is who He is, who is holy and righteous, etc.? It does have a huge effect on our life. Because He's not like us. In Jeremiah 9, it says, "Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom, let not the mighty man boast in his might, let not the rich man boast in his riches, but let him who boasts boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord." And 1 and 2 Corinthians, there's a phrase almost identical that says, "Let no one who boasts, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord." So what we boast in is what we trust in and follow. It's what we have value for with. And whether it's a philosophy or a person or a position or whatever, what we boast in is what we trust and believe in. And this sermon series is all about getting to know the Lord. It's something, as we just saw in Jeremiah, it's something that the Lord wants and has stated so many times, that we are to spend time with Him and understand and know Him. When we spend time with Him and in His Word, there's a relationship, because we hear a lot of things, we hear a lot of voices, there's a lot of things out there, even in the body of Messiah, that may or may not be of God. So as we know His Word, we're able to discern His voice. And in the process of spending time with Him and His Word, we will realize that He is the Lord of the world and our lives, that He is love and justice and wants righteousness. In John chapter 15, starting at verse 4, Yeshua talks about the importance of spending time with Him, abiding Him in Him, which would mean living with Him. Says, "Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing." So Yeshua, it's the scriptural pattern when the Lord repeats Himself, He's highlighting something. He says over and over again, starting in verse 4 through 10, He's saying we are to abide, live with Him so we can bear fruit, and then that fruit can be picked by others. In verse 6, "If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, You will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. So we see Yeshua specifically saying that we are to spend time with him, not just spend time, but live with him, sort of tabernacle with him. As he is in us, we have to be with him. And in John 10, so one of the things, we read his word and spend time with him. As we read his word, then we can learn to discern his voice. When the apostles that were called apostles later, before they went out and ministered to the people, they spent time with Yeshua before he released them into doing ministry. And that's something I think sometimes gets forgotten in a lot of ministry training to do things, is that Yeshua's pattern was to spend time with him first, to get to know him, his character, his nature, how he does things, how he reacts to things. And then, like all disciples of a rabbi, then they do what they saw the rabbi do. In John chapter 10, verses 2 through 5, Yeshua says, talking about learning his voice, "But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of a stranger." And if you want to read a good book on this subject, it's called a Shepherd's View of Psalm 23. And I don't remember the name of the author right now. He's a South African man who was a shepherd for a while. And one of the things you learn is that sheep are easily frightened. They easily stray and need constant discipline and care. And the shepherd is always speaking to the sheep. So by long association with the shepherd, the sheep learn to recognize and follow his voice. As the shepherd watches over his sheep, he speaks to them, and they learn to trust him as he treats them properly. It takes time, but it does happen, and that is the key, taking time to speak with the shepherd, learning the voice of the shepherd, and that helps us to not follow other voices. And I think what's really important, as I've said already, it's learning God's word. And later on in chapter 10, Yeshua says that I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Getting to know the Lord through his word and in your prayer time helps you to avoid the possibility of idolatry. As we've talked here before, we need to see Yeshua as he has revealed himself to the world. And if we don't agree with part of aspects of God, like Thomas Jefferson didn't agree with certain things in the Bible, so he would cut them out. Essentially, he was committing idolatry because he was, in essence, worshiping only the God he accepted. And only the Lord knows a person's heart, and I'm not here to judge them. and we'll all stand before God, but God is who he is, and we need to accept him as who he is and who he has revealed himself to be. If we ignore the parts of God we don't agree with, then we are worshiping a God of our own making, in essence a false God, and it is sinful. We are to present ourselves to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth that includes our view of the Lord. So some questions we have to ask ourselves before we go any further. If he's our Lord, what kind of Lord is he? Is he the Lord who he says he is and wants to be, or are we taking him as the Lord that we want him to be on our terms? If he wants to be our father, if we want him to be our father, what kind of father is he? Is he going to be the father you want him to be? And if he isn't, then you're not going to accept him? Or are you going to let him be the father over your life that he wants to be? If he wants to be our best friend, and he should be, then what kind of friend he is he? And I think we have to put them all together as Lord, Father, and best friend. But I think as best friend can be the most challenging, because we put up barriers in our lives to prevent us from getting to know, or to prevent people from inputting into our life. But God is not like that. He's not like us at all. He knows us through and through. And as you look at the, in time and time again, Yeshua would say things to people. Like, I'm reading a book about the woman in the Bible that interacted with Yeshua, and one of them was the Samaritan woman. And Yeshua went out of his way to speak to her and save her. And he did it by speaking directly to her core issues at first contact. And that's not something the average person does with their friends. And you've got to do that as led by the Lord, or we could start chaos. And Yeshua is perfect, so he knows the right time to do it. But he said things to her that I don't, and Yeshua said things to people that I don't think a lot of people say to each other. And probably the Lord is the only person that can say these things to other people. C.S. Lewis, in his book, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, has this quote, because a lot of people say God can be dangerous, particularly if you want him to be your best friend and your father and Lord. This quote says, Aslan is a lion, the lion, the great lion. Ooh, says Susan, I thought he was a man. Is he quite safe? I shall feel rather nervous about meeting a lion. Safe, said Mr. Beaver. Who said anything about safe? Of course he isn't safe. But he's good. He's the king, I tell you. And that's Yeshua. That's the Father. He's good. He's the king. But if you want him involved in your life, he's not safe. He's going to say things to you that you're not going to appreciate, because of who he is, because of his character and nature. He doesn't have a carnal nature. So he sees things differently than us. He thinks differently than us. Yeshua was fully God and fully man, but because he didn't have a carnal nature, he just sees things differently, and he speaks to situations differently than us. In Isaiah, and he says this over and over again in Scripture, in Isaiah 55:8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. And that's something we have to be aware and truly grasp, that he doesn't think like us, he doesn't see things like us, nor does he approach things like us. And that's some of the things I want to talk about. If we talk about his character and nature, is when we think about his omniscience and his omnipotence and his knowing everything and being all wise on, and being personal and relationship, and he is not the definition of love, he is love, and he is uncreated, and he's infinite, and he's sovereign over all. And how does that affect us on a person-by-person basis? If he's going to be our friend, how many of us know a friend who's, well, you can say we know a lot of people who aren't like us, and a lot of times they get on our nerves. But how many of us know of somebody that's all-knowing, all-present, eternal, holy, wise, sovereign, etc.? Are we aware that we have to come to God by faith, his faith, and no other way? That we have to come to God on his terms and not by our deeds? Yeshua said, without faith, it's impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards that those that seek him. Like I said, when we come to God and draw near to them, we must not only believe he exists, but see him and accept him as he has revealed himself to us and to the world. In Micah 6, verse 8, talking about how God wants us to walk. He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice and love kindness and to walk humbly with our God, your God. In Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12, it says, and now Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you, but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul. In Proverbs, it talks about something that I think we see a lack of in our society. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. And so we now see we have a government, a Congress, a Supreme Court with no fear of God that I'm aware of. They may be there on some level. But because of that, and because of an unwillingness to base laws based on scripture or scriptural wisdom, we think we can create any law we want and not have to worry about the consequences. Except that when we stand on Judgment Day, the deciding factor will be our relationship with him. The works, as it says in his word, follow us, but the relationship is the primary factor. In Matthew 7, verse 23, it says, and then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. So there is going to be a number of people, and I pray it's not anyone here or listening, that we're doing a bunch of things, but we're not spending time with the Lord, because the Lord wants us to abide with him. It's something he's expressed over and over again, and maybe it's time for some people to stop with the works and spend time in fellowship with people and with the Lord. And that would be a hard decision for a lot of people. And actually, Paul felt this was important because he made clear in his writings that his prayer was that we grow in the knowledge of him. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17, that the God of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. That was Paul's prayer for each one of us and the people he was around. In Colossians 1:9, he said to the people of that city, that area, and so from the day we heard about them, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. without putting in time with the Lord, getting to know Him, we run the risk of doing things like we see in our world. There is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is death. Making decisions without God and in our pride, thinking we know it all. In Ephesians 4, chapter 4, verses 11 through 16, it talks about the fivefold ministry, and there's a lot of discussions about this, but it, really the scripture talks about the purpose of the apostles is not just to, I think, do a bunch of works, but it says He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saint for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Messiah, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. And I think we can't like distort that and think that, well, we'll have the knowledge of God, when I think it means literally that part of growing into maturity is getting to know God, the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Messiah. As Yeshua said, it's enough that you become like Him. And that's part of the rabbi discipling disciples' relationship, is that they spend time with the rabbi so they become like the rabbi. It was a very common phenomena in Yeshua's time. They spend time with the rabbi so they can become like Him. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Messiah, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes, rather speaking the truth in love as He does to us, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Messiah, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. So we see Paul saying that the purpose of the body of Messiah, particularly certain offices within the body of Messiah, is to help us to grow up into maturity, to be like Yeshua, and to spend time with Him. In the future teachings, I'll talk about various aspects of God's character and nature that we can all contemplate on. I won't talk about a lot of most of them, because I said I'll be here for years, but we can use that as a launching point for personal study, that we are to get to know the Lord on His terms, so we don't end up creating a God of our own imagination and commit idolatry. I want to make it more than an intellectual exercise, and I hope to take these questions I asked earlier and help us to answer them. If we want Him as our Lord, what kind of Lord is He? If He's our Father, what kind of Father is He? And if He's our best friend, what kind of friend is He? And is He like us or completely different than us? And will He meet our expectations, or will He completely blow them apart? Well, He will. I mean, we have our own preconceived ideas, and He's going to blow them apart. He's not like us at all.
Thank you.
Well, we'll get to heaven, and we'll be blown away.
That's right.
Heaven's not at all like... you listen to people describe it, but I'm sure it's nothing at all like our expectations. And people that come back are not the same. So what does the aspects of God's character, nature, and title mean for us? And what does it mean for Him to be Lord, our Father, and our best friend? Father, we come to You in Yeshua's name, and I ask that this message, short though it is, soak into our heart, and what is of You stays, and what is not would disappear, I ask that everyone here and listening would learn to spend more quality time with you, getting to know you as you are. Show us your glory, Lord. Turn on the heat and the fire in our life. Reveal yourself to us in ways, greater ways, than you have ever done before, so that we may not be the same. Because we're not supposed to be the same. We're supposed to grow from glory to glory. In Yeshua's name, amen.